Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. It's actually nice weather for once around here.
It is. It's nice. It was a nice day today. Hey, guys, this is, I forgot what I was going to say.
Robbie, your name is Robbie.
No, I was not going to say that. I was going to say something else, and I completely blanked. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow for only $2 a month and gain access to all of our bonus content, monthly bonus episodes, new episode reviews whenever they come out, weekly written articles by me, bad drawings by both of us every single week.
Rest assured, they are bad.
They are very, really bad. We just did a new bonus episode of about John Swartzwelder's first book. It's still sitting next to me.
Quite good. You guys should check it out.
Yeah. We have some people to thank, Matthew.
We do. You mean the best people in the world?
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that assessment. First of all, Mike DeOrion. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
And Tyler McRae. Thank you very much, Tyler.
Tyler, you rock.
On to this week's episode. It is Homer the Great, episode 209, originally aired January 8th, 1995. We're into 1995, Matt.
Oh my god, it's like we're time travelers.
It's only 19 years ago. Written by aforementioned John Swartzwelder, directed by Jim Reardon. Finished 38th in the ratings for that week. Highest rated show on Fox that week.
Well, that's good. This obviously should be. I wonder, when that always happens, I always wonder if they got some kind of like promotional, like they put the song in the commercial for the episode. And everyone's like, man, I got to see that.
I don't know. I'm sure ads have something to do with it. It's hard to say. It's Nielsen ratings, so they're not that accurate. Chalkboard gag, adding just kidding doesn't make it okay to insult the principal. I thought just adding just kidding to anything makes it okay. Just JK. Hey, just burn down your house, JK.
Wait, you mean you didn't burn it down, or it was a joke? Because either way, screw you.
I did, and it was a joke. JK. Couch gag. The living room is an M.C. Escher painting.
Aww.
It's good. It's cool. It's neat.
It's a very interesting effect.
Yeah. The episode guest stars Patrick Stewart as number one. Never get his real name.
Because he's the best.
Patrick Stewart is pretty cool, and he should be number one. He is number one. I mean, he is Jean-Luc.
Well, yeah. Technically, he's number zero because he has his number one.
That's true. That's weird. The episode begins with the Simpsons house flooding, basically. The basement is, like, knee-deep in water. Stern Lecter Plumbing not doing a great job.
Their lecture wasn't very stern.
It will take them weeks to get a part that they're not ordering today. We get a little bit of Snowball 2. Underwater, just hanging
Scuba
out,
Kitty,
hanging around. Homer's stuck in traffic. When he finally gets to work, his parking spot is literally behind his house,
with the barbed wire. You know, the barbed wire.
It's very, very. I don't. Maybe you could just. Is there no way? Can't you just like cut a hole in the fence and?
They'd probably fix it eventually.
Probably,
but maybe dig a hole underneath and just. Put a little, a hinged lid on it. That'd be what I'd try and do.
And this is a series of just like hardships that are visiting him. his stool breaks. The EconoSave stool. And
get the list.
Yeah, the revenge list. And all of these situations, he sees that Lenny and Carl have it better off, and he wants to know why.
Hey, how come you guys got such great parking places?
It's a secret.
Shut up.
Hey, will you guys help me fix my... Hey, how come you guys got better chairs than me?
It's a secret.
Shut up.
Hey, you guys want to go bowling tonight?
Nah, we're busy.
Yeah, we got things to do.
Like what?
It's a secret.
Shut up.
And those clips do not happen that close together in the actual episode, but I put them together to give a proper context, I guess.
Robbie just loves you guys.
Without
that
being
much.
A 3-minute clip. Homer, despite Marge telling him not to stalk, he stalks Lenny and Carl to the secret meeting
place.
Well,
that's what you do when someone's acting funny.
You follow
stalk
them?
I mean, how else are you going to find out?
You just forget and go about your business like a person.
What is wrong? How could you forget such slights that Homer has That's had.
I don't know. But, I mean, he does do it very well. The paint.
The one thing Homer is surprisingly competent at.
Yeah, he puts the paint on the back of, he pops the, like, it's like a spy movie. He, like, pops a hole above a paint can, hangs it on the back of Lenny and Carl's car, and follows the paint to the, frankly, the meeting place is not, like, it's not a subtle thing. You know, it's
a very obvious building.
It's a huge building with a giant, like, domed window on the ceiling and, like, symbols all over it. And very obviously spies on what we learn are the stonecutters. With first his giant shadow over, and then him falling through that very same window. Fortunately, the stonecutters don't actually, like, do anything except Mo just throws him out. Like he would throw him out of Moe's, I assume.
Sure, he has to pay the ultimate price.
The ultimate price being thrown out the door. I'll mention here the Stonecutters are a clear reference to the Freemasons, which there are many conspiracy theories about, which I believe none of.
Yes, none of them are true.
Yes, Freemasons are. Much like the Stonecutters, it's much like an excuse to just for men to drink without their wives around.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And to protect the patriarchy.
Yes, of course. I mean, those the hand in hand. Homer wants to know how to join.
I saw weird stuff in that place last night. Weird, strange, sick, twisted, eerie, godless, evil stuff. And I want in.
We don't know what you're talking about, Homer.
And you can't join the Stonecutters because it's too exclusive.
Oh, well... That was a real nice secret organization we had once.
Stonecutters, eh? How do I join?
There are only two ways to gain membership. Be the son of a stonecutter.
Next.
Or save the life of a stonecutter.
Then there's a lengthy joke about Egg Council, the Egg Council.
Which I think was a big thing back in the 90s, because I don't know if you're familiar, you know a little bit about eating things and nutrition and whatnot, but apparently eggs at the time were demonized for being high in cholesterol, which we now know how much cholesterol food has very little actual effect on your personal cholesterol. But back then people thought, oh, if you eat eggs, you'll die from high cholesterol. Yes. There were a lot of commercials on TV. I actually saw one, and it's really odd.
That is very – yeah, eggs are good. I love eggs. Eggs are great.
They're the best.
But yes, dietary cholesterol has very little to do with the cholesterol inside your body, which I don't think many people actually know. I think that's a myth that has very
pervaded our culture to this day.
Yeah, the dietary advisement by the FDA just got updated, so to say that it's okay not to not worry about that.
Yeah, it's like, guys, seriously, do not worry about that. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Worry more about how much sugar you eat and how much saturated fat.
Yeah, sugar, you should.
Well, it's mostly polyunsaturated fat. That's or monounsaturated fat. Whatever trans fats are, those are the really
polys.
Bad ones.
Polys are bad. Monos are okay.
That's the one.
Homer is sad because he's excluded. And we get him, a pillow talk scene, him and Marge. And we get the first introduction of the No Homers Club.
Why don't people like me, Marge?
Everyone likes you. You're a wonderful person.
Why don't those stupid idiots let me in a crappy club for jerks?
I'm sure it's nothing personal, Homer.
It is. It's been happening to me all my life.
Hey, Billy! Hey, Joey! Come on in! There's plenty of room! Sorry, not you, Homer.
Why not? But you let in Homer Glumplet.
It says no homers. We're allowed to have one.
Oh, I felt so left out.
It's something that's not really touched upon a lot, aside from a very few select episodes, but Homer is a lonely guy.
Yeah, he had a really bad shot. Like, people just don't seem to like him. And honestly, that's mostly for good reason, but sometimes it's just zero reason. People are just like, yeah, Homer's a jerk. Like,
yeah.
No, Homer's not a jerk.
Well, I don't know. He has, like, his friends at Moe's, quote unquote, but we see him struggle with this at multiple times with his, you know, quote unquote popularity and being liked and stuff. And this episode really gets to the heart of, you know, how he feels about all that stuff and how he really wants to belong. And he doesn't really ever, you know, we even got a little bit of that in in Fear of Flying when he gets kicked out of Moe's. It's a little bit of the same thing, but this is extended out to kind of more logical conclusion. They discover, I guess they discover that Homer actually has a way into the Stonecutters. If only they would listen to Grandpa.
I'd give anything to get into the Stonecutters.
What do they do there, Dad?
I'm a member. What do they do? What don't they do? Oh, they do so many things, they never stop. Oh, the things they do there. My stars.
You don't know what they do there, do you?
Not as such, no. I'm a Stonecutter.
Dad, remember those self-hypnosis classes we took to help us ignore Grandpa?
Do I ever? It's 5 years later, and I still think I'm a chicken. I'm a chicken, Marge.
I know. Maybe we should be listening to him now.
I'm a member. Huh? What? What? Ha!
You're a member of the Stonecutters, Grandpa?
Oh, sure. Let's see. I'm an elk, a mason, a communist. I'm the president of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance for some reason. Ah, here it is. The Stonecutters.
Oh, this is it. My ticket in. They have to let me join if I'm a son of a member. I'll take this communist one, too.
It's important that people know that Homer is a communist. I mean, really, he's not selfish at all. He's totally giving up to the state.
I'm a chicken, Marge. I know. So he marches Grandpa into the Stonecutters headquarters, and is granted at least initial membership. He must go through his initiation rites, which I did not pull these because it is mostly physical humor. It is very funny. They haze him, quote unquote, even though it's relatively harmless hazing, even though Homer manages to make it harmful by collapsing 5 floors in a row.
Yeah, poor Homer.
But he eventually, and he has to go through the wreck of the Hesperus, crossing the desert. Then finally, the paddling of the swollen ass with paddles.
That's the one, yeah.
it's really harsh. But eventually he gets in and must recite his oath.
And by the sacred parchment, I swear that if I reveal the secrets of the Stonecutters, may my stomach become bloated and my head be plucked of all but 3 hairs.
I think you should have to take a different oath.
Everyone takes the same oath. Welcome to the club number 908. You have joined the sacred order of the Stonecutters, who since ancient times have split the rocks of ignorance that obscure the light of knowledge and truth. Now let's all get drunk and play ping pong.
Because he's already kind of heavy, you know.
Poor Mo. Don't try to get logic, Mo.
Yeah, we also we get a little bit inside how the Stonecutters work. We see they are all numbered. They don't use their names, that Burns is a lower rank than both Lenny and Carl, and so they can push him around while at the Stonecutters.
So I'm trying to figure out, how is Mr. Burns not already part of this organization when Lenny and Carl are? That just seems weird to me. Like, essentially, Mr. Burns would have had to have joined later than Lenny and Carl.
Yeah, that he saved a Stonecutter's life after they had been members. He doesn't have any family members in there.
That's a good point, because I feel like that's the kind of organization where you inherit your father's number.
Lenny and Carl got in there through family, through familiar rights. Burns saved someone's life, and probably indirectly, but he probably wormed his way in there.
Probably.
Imagine that someone was deep in debt. He paid them off. He paid off their debts, therefore saving their life, therefore gaining membership to the Stonecutters.
All right, fair enough.
That's how I explained it in my head, Matt. You are free to come up with some other explanation, but that's the only...
I can subscribe to your headcanon.
Okay, good. Excellent. This is how the episode act. That's how the act ends. We go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Homer enjoying the fruits of being a Stonecutter. Stern Electric Plumbing is apparently controlled by the Stonecutters, because as soon as he gives the official handshake, I guess, his plumbing is fixed immediately, and he even rescues the cat. Homer has a wonderful shortcut to work, which he is able to symbolically, crack in half a fake boulder that takes him to an incredibly nice hallway that he drives through to
full of Mona Lisa's. I want to say every single painting in that hallway was Mona Lisa.
I didn't notice that. That's great. So essentially, But he has same old parking space. But luckily they gave him rollerblades so he can glide to the front door. Unfortunately, Homer is not very good at using rollerblades, so he still has a bit of a tough trip. Poor Homer. Once there, he gets his new chair, which is the same as Lenny and Carl's, although he attempts to make them jealous despite having the same chair. He then gets his membership packet, which is a sticker to put on your car to make sure you don't get any tickets, a sticker you put in your wallet to keep the paramedics from stealing your wallet, which I am now concerned about, even if I wasn't before. And you should now call 912 instead of 911, obviously. 911 is the sucker's number.
And
go ahead.
We'll get to it. I'll save my bit just for 1 second. You continue.
Okay, fair enough. We then see Homer reading the Stonecutter's Real Custard? History Guide.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yes, that does sound good. The Stonecutter's Actual World History, which is a little different from what you'd find in your history books.
I still don't believe all the Founding Fathers were stonecutters.
That's because you trust your stupid school books. Here's what really happened at the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
And a nation is born. Now let us party like 'twas 1799.
Please, sir, you're destroying my establishment.
We just created the greatest democracy on earth, you low-life commoner.
You want to see how Davy Crockett really died at the Alamo? You must be 18.
So, yeah, all the Founding Fathers were stonecutters. They were all drunken hooligans. So, you know, I can almost believe that, you know. Robbie, what do you think?
Yes, they are. I mean that I think, and that's what I was going to say. And I mean, I could bring it up at any point, really, when we see how these stonecutters work. Everyone is a stonecutter, it seems. Every man in Springfield, it seems. Every person who has a job, it seemed, everyone we could recognize is a stonecutter.
There's also new people too.
Yeah, I mean, and when your secret organization has every single person as a member aside from Homer up until this point, and that's kind of the point. I mean, it is playing off the fact that we put so much conspiracy theory into like these secret organizations supposedly that, you know, all these men of power have been a part of, but it's just an excuse to get drunk together. And yes, they control a lot of powers, but that's just because it's everybody, you know. I don't think it's saying more about Homer's place in Springfield than it is about these secret organizations.
I listened to the commentary for this episode, and they keep forgetting to call them stonecutters and keep calling them Masons. So essentially what this episode is, it's two things. It's one, like you said, it's saying more about Homer's position in the society. And it's also just a whole bunch of gags based on things that random people told the writers about what the Masons do, that they had heard over their lives. Like, let's throw basically the idea for this episode is let's make a whole bunch of Mason gags and have Homer try and get in. And then it evolved essentially to the whole Homer being the great one thing, which we'll get to in just a second. But Homer is, of course, popular for once he becomes a stonecutter. Everyone, I don't know if they love him, but they start including him in everything. He gets a call from a man called You Know Who to go to a secret wink wink at some point or something along those lines. I can't remember the exact line. But, you know, Homer is deeply happy to be a part of this an organization that looks deep inside him and assigns him a number based on the order in which he joins.
He's happy he belongs, which, for once.
Yeah, which doesn't last long because, you know, we know Homer.
Of course not.
At the next meeting, we get possibly one of the most famous songs in the history of the entire show.
Who controls the British crown? Who keeps the metric system down? We do. We do.
Who leaves Atlantis off the maps?
Who keeps the Martians under wraps?
We do. We do. Who holds back the electric car? Who makes Gutenberg a star?
Of their sight.
Who rigged every Oscar night?
We do. We do.
I had to resist every urge to sing along with that just now.
Right, and it's just simple song. It's really easy to memorize, and you just, oh, it's so wonderful.
It was the song was nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Music and Lyrics for both Swartzwelder and Alf Clausen.
Did it win?
It didn't. It was nominated, did not win.
That's one of the biggest travesties in all the history of the Emmys, and there have been a lot of travesties at the Emmys. I know. In the commentary, they talk about like all the leftover gags they had heard about the Masons. They just tossed into that song and then tried to make it rhyme.
This was so fantastic. The first time I had heard of Steve. I don't think I knew who Steve Guttenberg was until I heard. I think I heard of him in this song before I ever knew.
Like, you'd seen him in stuff, but you didn't know who he was.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh yeah, Steve Guttenberg. Yeah,
that's a guy from Police Academy.
From that Simpsons song, right? They mention him.
We also see the alien. It's his first appearance. He doesn't really have that many, to be honest.
The song that won that year was Barbara the Concert. It was Ordinary Miracles from Barbara the Concert, which not really fair, because that it was like, a concert movie or something. It's a Barbara Streisand concert movie. Like
TV special.
Yeah, like I don't think that's... How's that up against a song from an animated sitcom? Whatever.
Yeah. Emmys. That's one of the problems with any award
damn
show.
Damn you, Emmys! Category. Damn you! Okay.
Well, they're more legitimate than Grammys. I think we can agree on that, at least.
What, Grammys? Legitimate?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Anyway, at the end of the song, we see the Stonecutters are having a dinner to commemorate their society's 1500th anniversary. And to celebrate, they're having ribs. Which I also noticed in this that the people serving them are also wearing robes. So, like, how do you get selected to be the servant? I mean, like, I would say that'd be like the lower number. So Homer would be expected to be in with them, but maybe he just sucked at the kitchen so bad. They're like, you know what? Just sit this one out. And that's my theory. That's my headcanon about the people serving them, essentially.
I would assume that they are just they get compensated. They're maybe be high ranking members, so they probably get compensated in some way.
Maybe.
But you cannot be even be wait staff or a cook for the Stonecutters unless you are a Stonecutter. Maybe there's a special servant Stonecutter. Maybe, like, who knows? Turtles all the way down.
That should be where Homer should be. Anyway, at this dinner, Homer is a little cautious because he thinks that he might get some on his special Stonecutter robes. So he grabs the nearest thing to a napkin that he can find, which is apparently the Stonecutter's sacred parchment. Which we learn about. We actually heard more about this. It was Act One where they say what the secret parchment is about, right?
Well, I mean, you see him be sworn next. Like, Homer mentions it in that clip I pulled, but he is standing in front of it when they.
Right.
It
foretells of the chosen one.
Yeah, it is their sacred document, which I don't. I mean, for Springfield to get, if they're all over the world, we learn that the Stonecutters are all over the world. There are many chapters. Mm-hmm. Springfield is the chosen chapter to have the actual ancient document, the original.
Well, obviously, because Springfield is the most important city in the world.
Clearly.
Anyway, Homer uses the sacred parchment as a bib. He gets it disgusting, full of rib sauce. He wipes his mouth with it. He cleans out his ears because everyone is just aghast at what he is doing and can't bring themselves to actually tell him, Homer, stop moving. Stop destroying this thing. But when he is finally done blowing his nose into it, they hang it back up in its soiled nature. They strip him of all of his Stonecutter clothing. And luckily for him, he didn't get his tattoo yet because Mo is very eager to what is that thing called?
I'm not
the grater, the grated off of him. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He had a cheese grater. He was looking to, to grate it off of her skin.
Mo is fairly sadistic in this episode.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how he became a Stonecutter. He must've bought his way in or had some blackmail on somebody.
He saved someone's life. He probably shivved somebody when they were actually being threatened. Probably on the street or something.
I also liked it when they threw Homer's underwear, Stonecutter underwear, into the fire. The ghosts came out.
That is a Indiana Jones reference.
As a final humiliation, they make him walk home naked with the Stone of Shame, which is it's not a small rock, but it's smaller than Homer. Essentially, it's something that he could actually carry rather than drag. But as he is walking out with his Stone of Shame, they notice that Homer has a birthmark. That has never been mentioned. Was never mentioned before, and has not been mentioned since. That marks him as the chosen one. He basically has a Stonecutter symbol on his butt. So everyone is immediately forgiving of Homer. They proclaim him the chosen one. They go to the top of Mount Springfield for the coronation ceremony, and they attach to him the Stone of Triumph, which is about, probably 5-10 times the size of the Stone of Shame. So Homer gets screwed either way, pretty much. That was a great gag when I was a kid. I was like, aha, the Stone of Triumph, that's funny. But as Homer receives his Stone of Triumph, that is the end of the act.
I wish we could have seen the coronation, the ceremony. We only see a painting of it.
Yeah.
We don't actually get to see that.
Obviously one. Fake.
Yes. But Homer is basically like treated as a god. We get a little reference to The Last Emperor, a movie I don't like it that much, but whatever. That's what they're referencing. Homer is not quite god like, but they basically do worship him in a certain weird way. He's a prophet, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, he's kind of like a pharaoh. He's not quite a god, but he's of the gods.
Yeah, and Homer does not take him long to certainly feel like he's being worshipped like a god.
I always wondered if there was a god, and now I know there is, and it's me.
You're not a god, Homer.
Remember, Dad, all glory is fleeting.
So?
Beware the Ides of March.
No.
Dad, I know you think you're happy now, but it's not going to last forever.
Everything lasts forever.
Don't you see? Getting what you want all the time will ultimately leave you unfulfilled and joyless.
Remove the girl.
Dad, you're not with your stonecutters now. There are no lackeys around to carry out your every...
That was Bart at the end there, serving his father's needs. Well, I mean, Bart would become a stonecutter, I assume, when he turns 18.
He would, because his father is a stonecutter. But yeah, I always try to figure out what is Lisa's deal about the Ides of March.
Well, it's
really weird.
Ides of March is, you know, it's from Julius Caesar, and I think it's basically sworn against pride. That's my, it's not anything like, I don't think it's referencing anything specific from Julius Caesar. It's just saying like, he, you know, pride goes before a fall. And Homer is very like, he declared himself a god. It's, you know, it's pretty prideful. And I think that's all she's doing. She's just saying like, maybe you should just temper it down a little bit or, you know, bad stuff could happen. And at first Homer is really happy and we, like you hear that there and, but he goes bowling, he plays poker, and he wins all the time because everyone cheats to make him win, or explain away why he won. Like they make it because that is how the power structure of the Stonecutters has been set up. As he's the chosen one, he has to win all the time. Even when he says he doesn't want to, all the other guys still kind of, I don't know, are defer to the chosen one, quote unquote.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. He goes back to Lisa for help.
Lisa, you are right. My happiness is fading.
You're experiencing spiritual emptiness because your power has isolated you from other human beings.
What do you mean isolated? Hated.
Well, maybe you could reach out to the community and help other people.
I could help others. I'll get a bunch of monkeys, dress them up, and make them reenact a civil war.
Dad, that doesn't help people.
Couldn't hurt, unless the monkeys started hurting people, which they almost certainly would.
Which is accurate, yeah, because monkeys live only to kill.
Yeah, monkeys are incredibly violent and unpredictable. And Lisa's, again, like, she's very much like the voice of I don't want to even say reason, but of the metaphor. I don't know that she's very much like
of philosophy.
Yeah, philosophy. Like we see time and time again, usually when, especially Bart and Homer, they often go to Lisa to like, tell me what's happening. And Homer becoming the chosen one, he's in the exact same situation he was before he joined the Stonecutters. He's isolated. He's alone. You know, he's not of the group anymore. He is the other.
He can't win.
Even when he wins all the time, he can't win. And he takes Lisa's advice and follows it. They start doing charity work, the Stonecutters. They become a charitable organization. They don't just drink beer and play ping pong all the time. They end up, I guess, doing good, even though not all, a lot of their charity work ends up being ultimately bad. But they play with children. Mo gets trapped in the slide. Burns gets walloped by a child on the swings.
Well, Burns probably deserved that.
That's true. And they paint a building sky blue, and then a plane crashes into it because it can't see.
Yeah, I can't imagine they could ever paint it enough of a blue to match the sky.
You probably could, for a certain time of day at least, if it was a clear day.
Maybe.
And the pilot maybe is not paying attention.
That's true.
But the Homer, and Homer is finally, like, he feels like he's making a difference, and like he's doing good in the world, even if some of it's not great. But the Stone Gutters themselves disagree.
You were right, Lisa. I've never felt so spiritually fulfilled. And with my brothers, the Stone Cutters, behind me, this is the beginning of a better world for all of us.
We gotta kill him!
Take it easy, Mo.
Let's hear from the Stone Gutter World Council before we act too rashly.
Kill him!
Kill him.
Kill the fool!
Afraid I have to disagree with Orville, Jack, and Mister. Can't we just do something to his voice box?
We might as well face the truth. As long as we're Stone Cutters, he will control our lives.
Maybe. But maybe we don't want to be Stone Cutters no more.
Silence! I now call to order the first meeting of the Ancient Mystic Society of No Homers.
Yay!
Hey, fellas, can I join?
Sorry, No Homers.
So we get a call back to the No Homers Club,
which is really the best organization to be part of.
I don't know how Orville Redenbacher got on, and like, you have a very famous actor and a former president, but then we got Orville Redenbacher and Mr. T.
Mr. T obviously belongs on any council of any type.
Of any type, all right. But Orville Redenbacher, Popcorn Man.
Yeah, that's a weird one. I don't know about that.
I don't even know. I didn't know.
If it was the KFC Colonel, I mean, that'd be Colonel Sanders. That would make more sense. But Orville Redenbacher, really?
Is Orville Redenbacher a real person?
I'm pretty sure.
Or was he created?
Thought he was a real person.
Yeah, he's a real person. He's not made up. He died like that the same year this episode aired. He died in 1995 at age 88.
Oh wow! Maybe that's why they put him in there.
Well, it would have happened long before the decision. But Homer is back where he started. He is a man unto himself. The Stonecutters are now Homer and some monkeys. Not great.
Someone's gonna get parasites.
Yeah, someone's gonna get parasites. Homer is, again, like, super sad because, you know, he was proven right in that he doesn't belong. Like, this entire society changed their names just so they could get him out of it. But Marge reminds him he's still a member of a very exclusive club.
Oh, Marge, kids, I miss my club.
You know, you are a member of a very exclusive club.
The Black Panthers?
No. The Family Simpson, which has just 5 members, and only 2 of those members have special rings.
Yeah!
I meant our wedding rings!
You know, Marge, you're right. The Simpson family is the best possible club I could belong to. This club better be worth it.
All right. It's Lisa's turn.
Lisa, who is right there ready to go.
I know. He left their club. He joined a different one, so he has to join a different club.
There you go.
Yeah. Not the Black
Homer
Panthers.
Has to be part of some kind of group.
Yeah. And I how do you feel about that ending, Matt?
Honestly, the curmudgeon in me is trying to find a reason not to like it. It's just so great. It's a little too easy, but I feel like it's the ending that makes the most sense for The Simpsons, because that's what Homer always comes back to. I feel like we've never really posited in any episode a Simpsons if Homer and Marge didn't get married. There's kind of been some episode where that happened. I'm definitely one where Marge married Artie, and I forget what happened to Homer, But either way, Homer existing without his family is never really a good thing. He basically ends up like Barney. So the fact that Homer at least has his family to come back to is really his only saving grace. Otherwise, he'd be really in bad straits. So I can accept this ending. I especially enjoy the fact that for some reason they get to haze him.
Yeah.
And everyone is lined up for that.
They kind of, again, oftentimes when they have a very sweet ending, they do try and temper that with the children hazing Homer with paddles. It reminded me, honestly, of the very first episode of Simpsons Roasting on Open Fire, like, of when they take in Santa's Little Helper at the end, and he's like, he's a loser, you know, etc. No, he's a Simpson. And I feel like that's, like, Homer may not belong anywhere else, but he will belong with his family. Family is always a very core conceit of the show, even when it is at its craziest and its most absurd. It still comes back to that central conceit in that your family will be there for you, you know, love your family, etc., etc. And that Homer made something where he belongs, you know?
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. He already had it, you know? And even though he may be looking elsewhere for it, he doesn't need to, you know? And I agree with you, like, the cynic in me wants to be like, you know, it's weak and... but it's... No.
It's pretty dang good.
It's very good and very thematically appropriate in the larger context of the show as a whole, even. You know, you can't poke at it and say it doesn't work with the rest of the show in general, because it is actually very emblematic of the show. Is this a great episode? Is Homer the Great great?
Oh, it's definitely great. I don't know where it's going to go on the list, but I'm thinking pretty high.
Okay, we'll rank it at the end of the show. I'm interested to see where we get it. Next up, we have one submission for my favorite episode. Very short but sweet submission from Hugh. My favorite episode is Homer the Great. Each joke is brilliantly well done, with my personal favorite being the No Homer's gag. That's it. But, you know, I don't need to write a note. Not everyone needs... You don't always have to write a book report. Even though I do it. We have read book reports on here, so...
I don't know if you guys can hear it. Robbie just totally cracked a beer.
That was not me. I do not live alone. If you have...
He's kidding. He needs alcohol to hang out with me.
I need alcohol all the time. What are you talking about? Without it, I die. If you have a favorite episode, please submit it to simpsonshowpod@gmail.com, explaining why a certain episode is your favorite, and I'll read it when we get to it. Next up, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group about the week or two after this episode has come out, and see what people were talking about back in the day, back in 1995, when the episode was fresh. Grades, people graded it, ranged C to A+.
Well, at least there were some smart people in there.
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't. There's a lot of people.
I gotta say, before we've made the comparison that, oh, you know, if it's a really great episode, they rate it terribly. And I think this episode kind of gives a little bit of a counter case to that. Like, when there is a great episode, sometimes even the news group got it right.
Yeah, I mean, there's people picking on it, but I think that a lot of the complaints were just about it is very weird at times. It has a lot of strange humor in it, which I particularly enjoy. I like The Simpsons for its rage of humor, but that's what most of the people were picking on. Then others were like, it's amazing. You know, it could have been anybody from any time, which is the general consensus of this is one of the best. And aside from that, we get a detail by detail, extreme minutia breakdown of the Bongo comics that had come out up to this point.
Wow, that's impressive.
Like, someone had literally talked about, they broke down every single issue of every single Bongo comic at that point. Like, it is pages. I couldn't even, like, an attempt to even summarize it for this podcast would be mind-numbing. It is, but someone did it. I read it. It was interesting. I would definitely suggest you guys check it out if you want to hunt it down. Even just to get an idea of what people were thinking of those Bongo comics at the time, which grew out of the Simpsons Illustrated Mac Quarterly Magazine, which They even talk about that. They talk about the history of Gargoyle Comics was like 2 years old at this time, and there are people, there are already guys talking about the history of the show, or the show, the comics. But that's about it. You know, people still talking about if Smithers is gay and where Springfield is. Every episode after every single one, it's like people are like ignoring, they're not even talking about the episodes, they're just talking about where Springfield is. Someone's positing that it's in northern Canada, Matt. Someone literally said, hey, I think it's in northern Canada.
I think they haven't been paying attention.
Yep, 100%. But that's about it for this week. Next up, it is time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite moment involving Moe's? Good old Moe's.
And there's the obvious Flaming Moe's, but hopefully our listeners can come up with more nuanced moments.
Well, there wasn't actually not that many Flaming Moe's. First, we have Daryl at TuckerChicken18. You're not thinking getting rid of the dank, are you? The dank. So good. I can't do Carl, but George at GeorgeWeeks2014. Anything to do with Uncle Moe's family feedback gets my vote. Ian at Ism42. Man alive, there are men alive in here. That's pretty good. CT at CHTHH. Hey, this isn't a faux dive. This is a dive. Alice at Sarcasm and Toast. Moe in response to his liquor license. Yeah, I've been meaning to get that updated for this state and real. Mike, answer. The presentations during Bart's comment all seem to end with Moe's getting destroyed or catching on fire. Good. Nick and Krusty gets canceled. Red Hot Chili Peppers confused by the size of Moe's bar. Moe's response was perfect. You told our agent this place holds 30,000 people. It does. We had 30,000 here last night. True. Brian and my sister, my sitter, Homer marvels that Moe's opened a fancy bar. Moe's Brewing Company at Squidport, that the camera goes through the doors and through a winding tunnel all the way to Moe's Tavern, where a confused upperclassman says, this isn't faux dive, this is a dive.
I believe we should call him a proto-hipster.
At the time, it was confused.
From what he's wearing, yes.
Confused upper class.
He's like halfway between yuppie and hipster.
I'm trying to parse it in my head. I'm trying to parse it in my head. I can't. And Brian continues. I say that whenever I find myself in either a faux dive bar or an actual dive bar. Marty, don't steal any beer while I'm gone. Barney, what kind of pathetic drunk do you take me for? Ooh, somebody spilled beer in this ashtray.
Remember when ashtrays were everywhere?
Yeah, they're still in bars. Steven, his answer. Oh my god, this man is my exact double. That dog has a puffy tail. Puff, here, Puff. Here, Puff. Matt, what's your answer?
I'm going to have to go with the time that Mo redoes his bar. He remembers his beloved regulars, but has them stand in the dark spot and tells them, oh, you guys would be having a great time if you just stayed in your dark spot. Sorry, I just enjoyed that.
No, it's good. It's good. My answer is Uncle Moe's Family Feedback. Everything involving Uncle Moe's. Yes, of course. It's one of my favorite episodes. And Bart sells his soul. And Marge's, particularly Marge's response when she walks in. Alligator? Sunglasses? Okay.
Now I've seen everything.
The little song he sings when the fries come out. Or no,
ding,
birthday
fries are done.
Birthday fries, that's what it is. The birthday fries for Sherry and Terry.
Yeah.
Here I am, why eat? Please take them off my head, they're extremely hot. Next week's question. What is your favorite Simpsons organization?
Oh, man, that's going to be tough.
A la the Stonecutters, what is organization? What is an organization? Who knows? Could be anything. I'm going to leave it open. It's more fun that way. You can find this question all of our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Links to all those stuff is also on our website, which is just simply TheSimpsonsShow.com, if you want to get an easy click to it. Next up, Matt, it's time.
Oh, no.
Every week you say that, and then you wallop me. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge. It's part show where Matt and I will each challenge each other with 3 trivia questions. 1 easy, 1 medium, 1 hard. Try and stump the other. We have a wager for this season. The host that does not win has to mow the other's lawn in their wife's Sunday best. It's looking like it's going to be me, but...
Well, you never know. I actually, thanks to our last-minute theme, went a little easy on you this week because I felt like, I don't know if you guys know this, but I try to never ask Robbie a question I do not know off the top of my head without even trying. So I may have gone even easier this week, so we'll see how Robbie does.
And for our listeners, Matt is an encyclopedia of useless knowledge. And just seeing things one
not
time,
just about The Simpsons.
Seeing one things usually just one time is enough for him to remember it forever. I do not have that capability. So it's basically rigged in his favor. We have a theme, and it's a last minute theme that I gave him 12 hours to prepare with. One off characters. This is from Sean at ShawneeMac15 on Twitter. One off characters, Matt. I will start us off with the easy question. Are you ready?
Ready.
I even went further. I did one off characters all from season one.
Oh, man, you know season one is my weakness. Now I'm in big trouble.
Oh, sure. Your easy question. Who does Albert Brooks voice in The Call of the Simpsons?
Oh, man. What is his name?
Really?
His name is Bob. I'm just going to go with Bob, if you'll accept that as the answer.
It's an easy question. I'll accept it. It's Cowboy Bob.
Cowboy Bob. He's I could not remember.
He's a giant cowboy title. Hat on, Matt.
I know, but I didn't think that was his actual name.
You're lucky I'm a nice guy.
I know. All right, you ready for your easy question?
Sure.
Okay. Who did Milhouse date that drove a wedge between him and Bart?
Samantha Stanky.
Ah, you are correct, sir.
SS. Samantha. Disappeared forever. Your medium question. Who is the teacher at the school for gifted children that Bart attends in Bart the Genius?
Oof.
Voiced by Marsha Wallace. Rest in peace.
God, I hate season one.
Oh, it's a nice nostalgia.
I guess. I am drawing a complete blank.
Give up?
I'm going to say Mrs. Jenkins.
Miss Melon is the answer.
Melon, of course. She'd be a fruit.
I don't even know what that, I'm not even sure what the joke for, if it's just like your dad joke, then yes, mission accomplished. It was terrible.
Yep.
Okay, I'm ready. Give me a question.
All right. Who attempted to kill Homer but was stopped by Sideshow Bob?
Attempted to kill Homer? Stopped by Sideshow Bob.
The episode is The Great Louse Detective, if that helps.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it. I think. No, I don't know it. I don't think I know
it. Not even a guess?
Selma.
No, unfortunately. It's actually Frank Grimes Jr.
Right. Oh, of course. Yes. I didn't.
I thought you might have a chance at that one.
No, I knew that. I was like, I know that happened. I just forget that it was Bob that stopped it. Okay. There's a lot of people that try to kill Homer. Your hard question, Matt. What are the names of both Frenchmen that Bart stays with in The Crepes of Wrath?
Oh, God. It is Ungolin and... Cesar?
Yes! You. I hate you. How do you get that and you don't get Miss Melon?
I don't know. I never remember. I don't even remember them saying her name, to be honest. But Cesar and Ungolin, I remember it was on the wiki or something. All right, you ready for your hard question?
I guess. You're murdering me.
Okay. This is pretty easy. I think you might get this. Yeah, sure. Who is Willie's Irish rival?
Oh, I know this. I know it. 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 Something. Is it Seamus? Something Seamus? Is that right?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Yes, it is groundskeeper Seamus.
Oh. I hate you.
I know. I know.
You pulled the dang Regis Philbin on me.
The Regis Philbin? Oh, yeah. What can I say, you know?
You're still way ahead of me. You're 6 points ahead of me, man.
Well, I just have to keep it up for the second half of the season because this is just the first half.
What I'm worried about is I think that the 6-point lead is only going to grow.
Well, it depends on how mean I am to you.
So very, very mean? No? Okay. I have a bonus question for you, Matt.
Okay.
It's from Joey. Another list-based question.
Oh, God.
What is on Homer Simpson's bucket list?
Bucket list?
Mm-hmm. 6 items.
Is this an actual list in the show, or is it things he said that it's been his lifelong dream to do?
He literally holds a list up that is labeled bucket list, and it has things listed.
I honestly have no idea, any of them.
Bucket of fried chicken, bucket of shrimp, bucket of tartar sauce, bucket of chili, bucket of popcorn, and a bucket of cholesterol medicine. Homer himself.
Oh, tell is, me, tell is me what episode that's from.
I'm not entirely sure. I just got. I only have a link to the actual picture, but I think I can find it.
Season 25, episode 4.
Okay, then. So you're faster than me. That's a good gag. I think that'll do it for trivia this week. If you guys have any particular questions you'd like me to ask Matt or a theme for us to use, send them into any of our social media places, the aforementioned Facebook, Twitter, email, any of those places, and I'll see if I can get them in. It is time for our final segment. Matt, it's time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show, Matt. I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where does this one go, Matt?
Oh, I honestly... All right. I'm definitely thinking top 15 for sure.
Okay.
But as to where it sits in there, I'm not 100% sure because I really like this episode. You know, it's not that I don't love Homer episodes, but I really enjoy family episodes, Lisa episodes, Marge episodes, more so than just this episode is pretty strictly just Homer. There is no B story. It's still incredibly tight, but you do have some family interaction in there, which makes me love it even more. But as in terms of Homer episodes, I feel like, I mean, our Homer episodes in top 15, it's Homer the Heretic, Deep Space Homer, Mr. Plow mostly. I think it's better than all three of those.
Really?
Yeah.
I would say it's not better than any of those.
Really?
Really.
Where would you put it?
You think it's better? You think it's better than Itchy and Scratchy Land?
Yes, definitely.
Because I would not. I would put it at the highest. I would put it at 15. I don't think it's better than any of those aforementioned Homer episodes. I think all of those are... I like them more. I think that they are funnier. It's not that this episode...
You really think Deep Space Homer is funnier than this?
Yes, 100%. I certainly think Homer the Heretic is better. I'm not saying that this is... Homer the Great isn't a very good episode. It has a lot of funny stuff, and it's very quotable. And of course it has We Do, which is a tremendous song.
I think the song is elevated higher than maybe it should be in my mind, just because it's so fantastic.
I know, the song is really great. It's just, you're right, it is all Homer, and it is
a lot of jokes.
A lot of jokes about a secret society. Like, okay, Mr. Plow is all, like, very much like, hey, about, like, you know, local celebrity and stuff like that. Deep Space Homer is a lot of jokes about, like, hey, space program and stuff, and Homer the Heretic is very much like religion. I find all those topics much more interesting than secret societies, you know. And I guess
you just didn't love secret societies as much as I did when I was a kid.
I don't think it's that interesting. Like, it's very like, hey, it's a frat for grown-ups. I get it. I got the joke. I mean, it's a fine joke, but I don't like... there's only so many ways you can tell it, and I like all the stuff. I mean, it's very tightly written and very funny, but just the subject matter just doesn't... I can't put it up above any of those other Homer episodes. And I even want to say it's below Itchy and Scratchy Land. Itchy and Scratchy Land, like, I really like that episode. Just, I think that, again, is about theme parks and growing up in Florida. That is certainly hits closer to home than Homer the Great does, which I have had no interest in secret societies as a child, and I never had any interactions with Masons or any, like, I think that is a very generational thing, like, of those Simpsons writers, because no one I know even has any kind of, like, it has never come up in conversation. Like, it only comes in conversation I'm explicitly talking about this episode. Like, and
I've heard some people in, like, more rural areas now talk about, not Masons or anything like that, but what's the site they have up in Ocala? I can't remember. Whatever.
Like, there's, I mean,
maybe
like, there's
Elks or something like that.
Yeah, Elks. Like, I know about those, but those are for, like, old people. Like, those are, you know, that's not, I don't know anyone under the age of, like, 40 who's a member of, who was an Elk. And, like, that.
Honestly, if you took the song out of this episode, I could definitely say Deep Space Homer and Homer the Heretic are better, because what their subject matter is definitely more interesting. But with the song,
I like, even with the song, it, like, the song is why it's so, is part of why I would even put it in the top 20. Like, I am not, like, my hesitance at the end, like, I even hinted at it in our last episode at the very end. Like, I don't think this episode is great, as a lot of people do. I mean, it's very funny, but there's plenty of funny Simpsons. It's like, that's no... Like, every episode of The Simpsons is funny to some extent. Like, that song is one of the reasons. Like, it is an amazing song.
One of the things I like about this episode is that there's never a... I hate to use this phrase, but there's never a dull moment. There's no lulls or lags in the comedy. It's like every second it's something funny happening on screen, which isn't always the case in a lot of these.
I can't think of any situation in any of the episodes I would like Itchy and Scratchy Land. I cannot think of a dull moment in Itchy and Scratchy Land. Like, it's within moments they are en route to Itchy and Scratchy Land.
That's true.
I can compromise and put it above Itchy and Scratchy Land. It's hard for me to put it above even Homer the Heretic. Homer the Heretic is like, it is so, like, I don't know, an animated sitcom tackling, like, God and religion in such an, like, such an...
Organized religion, especially.
Well, yeah, organized religion. But that is what it's discussing. Like, going in, you don't know that this is what it's, like critiquing or even, like, working with. Like, it is very much an episode about a average dude and how he copes. Like, how does he work with going to church every week and all that? And Homer the Great is, like, I'm not going to say it's bad because it's, like, such a crazier episode. Like, obviously, it's not nearly as grounded as any of those even. Even Mr. Plow and Deep Space Homer, where Homer literally goes to space. I feel like Deep Space Homer still is even more grounded than Homer the Great is. Homer the Great, literally, he becomes the prophet of a secret society. Like, it's a... I appreciate its weirdness, but I always like Homer as like the more grounded. I don't know.
I feel like I'm coming around to your side. I definitely think we could put it at 15, just above 18. The more I think about it, the more I realize Homer the Heretic is a better episode. But I feel like that's the whole point of this episode, is that Homer as a average individual being thrust into these two places where he's excluded and then included and then excluded once again, but for a different reason. I think that's an interesting character study on Homer, like how he...
And I agree with you. It's just that the episode itself, like, the only, it doesn't necessarily say a bunch about Homer other than that he belongs with his family, which I mean, that's a good sentiment, but
yeah.
Like, the reason the Stonecutters leave him after he has been their chosen one is because they're doing charity, and that's more of a statement about how bad people are, not that they, you know, that he's a bad person or that he's a weirdo or that he is some sort of, like, naturally. And that's always, and that's another thing that's always very strange to me, is because if you can think of, like, an everyman protagonist in fiction, Homer Simpson is, like, top five.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone I know likes Homer as a character. They think he's at least funny. Even the people who aren't big Simpsons fans, they watch Simpsons, like, yeah, I think Homer's funny and I like him. You know, he is that everyman protagonist trying his best. And, you know, fails, but we like him because of that. In this, it doesn't really, like, the fact that it talks about how, like, for some reason he drives everyone away, like, it makes, doesn't make much sense to me because our reality doesn't jive with it. He is, like, one of the most recognizable fictional characters ever. You could present a person who lives in Timbuktu a picture of Homer Simpson, they go, oh, Homer Simpson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I think, one of the reasons this episode bugs me. Like, I agree with the general sentiment that, yes, Homer is a Simpson and, like, he belongs with his family. But the fact that him driving people, like, I don't know. Like, I think the dynamic in Homer Loves Flanders works because Flanders is, like, an upright individual. Like, a solid human person. And so that, you know, Homer, like, is, like, antithetical to that. But Homer acting good drives people. I don't know. It's a weird place. I can't necessarily pinpoint it, but I would, if you want to put it at 14 or 13, I just don't want to put it above all those. We can compromise somewhere in there.
No, you're right. Like I said, when you really think about what those episodes tackle and those sorts of things, their subject matter is definitely funnier, and they're all really tight episodes. They're basically the same honestly. Their subject matter is more important than the fact that this episode has We Do in it. That's essentially what it comes down to. When you think about what those episodes are about and what Homer struggles with in those episodes, it's not really as funny as this episode. This episode is good. It has a very interesting arc for Homer, and that no matter what, somehow Homer always ends up being apart from the crowd. But I guess Homer the Heretic and Deep Space Homer say something more about the everyman than Homer in particular, whereas this episode is pretty unique to Homer, essentially.
Yeah, it's still number 15. It's pretty high on the list. I don't want to like say that 15 is a crummy place, because 15 is pretty good on this list. There are episodes I personally prefer that are well below this episode, but I can recognize the quality. And We Do is one dang catchy song that I've been singing constantly ever since I stopped watching this episode. And it reminds me, it made me think of Aladdin, the song when they come back into the city.
Oh, yeah, Prince Ali.
Prince Ali, yeah. It reminded me of that song. I think it's just like the soaring violins or something. But Homer the Great, number 15 on our list. A lot of debate on that one. I like it. I like it when we dig in. Right below Homer the Heretic, right above Itchy and Scratchy Land, number one on our list is Cape Fear. Lastly, number 108 is Homer's Odyssey. Matt, what's our next episode?
Ooh, let's see. Next episode is going to be And Maggie Makes Three. Aww.
I'm going to say this one. You might want to make room in top 10 for this.
Top 10, really? Top 20 for sure. I don't know about top 10. We'll have to have some discussion on that.
I have four words for you, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for her.
Oh, God, you're going to... You're probably right.
We'll see. We'll watch it. We'll make it. We'll talk. You can find this list at our website, simply thesimpsonshow.com. This list, the links to all our social media is there, links to our Patreon if you want to help us out, throw a couple bucks our way, we'd really appreciate it. And this list broken down by season, and Treehouse of Horror segments individually broken out as well. Let's see, before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal, that's MixMasterCereal, and please check out my comic book podcast, it is Handsome Boys Comics Hour on iTunes. It's available everywhere. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true, but for those of you who do follow me on Patreon, I will be live tweeting my Ascent of Everest this weekend. Totally. For reals.
All right, did you buy that VR mountain climbing game?
Maybe.
It's correct.
I did not, but no, I will be tweeting from Basecamp, because I don't know if you guys know this, but the Everest Basecamp does have 3G service.
We're going to be seeing Civil War, too. That's more important.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, never mind. Maybe next week at Everest.
Team Cap. With that, I'm Robbie.
Obviously. And I'm Matt.
Keep watching the Simpsons.